The reason why the Spiral Jetty is in the north arm of the lake is precisely because it's so salty. The color that drew Robert Smithson to Roselle Point is caused by microorganisms called extremophiles, because they thrive in extreme environments like some of the saltiest water on the planet. We've already learned why the lake is salty. It's a natural process. But another man-made structure on the lake is messing with the balance of the lake's saline waters. The source's Ross Chambliss takes us to the railroad causeway that splits the Great Salt Lake in half.
Zipping past an oncoming train on this narrow causeway crossing the Great Salt Lake, Bill Johnson, a professor of geology and geophysics at the University of Utah, steers his Subaru with four graduate students packed along for the ride. A green canoe is strapped to the roof. They're headed out to the middle of the lake to test the waters. Built in 1959, this rock runway isolated the lake's north arm, known as Gunnison Bay, which, as it turned out, was saturated with salt, 9 times saltier than the ocean, in fact. The water takes on a purplish hue. The main part of the lake, by comparison, is blue. It's also salty, but inflowing freshwater from the Jordan, Weber, and Bear Rivers keep it more hospitable for migrating birds, brine shrimp, and industries that harvest salt and other minerals from the water. A few years ago, Union Pacific closed 2 crumbling culverts connecting the 2 sides of the causeway for safety. The causeway that carries 10 to 15 trains a day has actually been sinking deeper into the lake. Despite the barrier, though, Johnson says water still seeps into the south arm through the causeway, creating a deep brine layer. The high concentration of methylmercury in the lake has worried many for years. Scientists have determined the mercury enters the lake from the atmosphere, and they've sourced much of it to gold mining operations in Nevada. Burning coal is also a source. At any rate, methylmercury is a neurotoxin. It's particularly dangerous for babies, but also adults if fish, birds, or other contaminated foods are consumed in high doses. Still, Johnson says we don't know enough yet about how methylmercury develops in the deep brine layer to say that keeping the causeway closed would keep mercury out of the environment. He says it should be studied more. Laura Ault, with Utah's Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands, says it's only a matter of time until the causeway is reopened. The state is taking the railroad company to task to bring back the exchange of flows that existed when the culverts were open. A disagreement over an easement to cross the state's sovereign lands is holding up the project for now. But when completed, managers imagine the bridge becoming a powerful tool to maintain ideal salinity levels. Linda Freitas, with Friends of Great Salt Lake, says that's something most stakeholders on the lake want to see.
The South Arm extractive industries are very concerned about, you know, how is this opening and the dynamic of flow going to affect those operations? Because what they don't want is, they don't want the flow to travel from south to north. They want salt to come from the north into the south so they can have the brine levels that they need in order to extract what they're looking for and maintain their existing operations. The brine shrimp, the range of 12 to 17% salinity. You know, we know that there have been brine shrimp cysts or eggs in the North Arm, but that was pretty much during the high lake level years in the 80s. And even then, you know, the water was high in the North Arm. So there is this sensitivity to the ecological needs and how circulation occurs.
Not far from where Bill Johnson and his students test the deep brine layer, long stretches of the lake bed along the causeway lie exposed under the baking sun, drying out. Johnson says he and others who study toxins in the lake worry what could happen if deeper areas of the lake bed are revealed due to continued drought, climate change, or from damming the Bear River. When it comes to the causeway, this land bridge splitting the lake in two, low lake levels also play havoc with the lake's salt balance. Linda Freitas says envisioning a future of much lower lake levels should be part of the planning for the future bridge and breach of the causeway.
And a part of evaluating that is going to have to come through kind of trial and error. The construct of this opening and a way of somehow regulating this exchange, this flow, will have to come through a series of, there'll be some berms that'll be incorporated in this structure, earthen berms that can be changed. And based on monitoring and evaluation of those results, the berm can be moved aside or it can be built up. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a process that we're going to have to wait and see.
It's taken years for all the interests, demands, and realities of the people using the lake to reach a point of harmony. But it's a delicate balance that just one party could easily disturb, De Freitas says. That's the tension mounting with the broken railroad causeway. The railroad company says they must prove their new bridge and berm operate effectively for 5 years before they turn control over to the state. Whether the new bridge will improve the lake is unclear.
If one use is possibly going to be, you know, the kiss of the Spider Woman for this resource, then why wouldn't you hold them to a standard of fiscal commitment and being there to respond accordingly in order to make this the best scenario possible for all of the other uses? You know, time will tell. One of the things that, you know, again, the emphasis of, because the lake has gone through high and low trends, we can't just monitor this causeway and these changes for 5 years or 7 years. We really have to be there, you know, for a long trend of understanding if this new opening with these variations that we're going to have to fiddle around with is actually working the way we hope. This is the first opportunity in a long time that we've had to perhaps change a paradigm for the lake with an existing structure that has, you know, created a footprint.
Ross Chambliss for The Source. Super jealous that he got to go out on that causeway. We'll have more from Ross when we return.